Defense Secretary Leon Panetta and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Martin Dempsey say yesterday's action is a policy recognition of what's been actually happening on the ground over more than 10 years of war. Women have been serving on the front lines, fighting and dying with their male counterparts, even if they've been excluded from serving in certain jobs. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta.
If members of our military can meet the qualifications for a job, and let me be clear, I'm not talking about reducing the qualifications for the job. If they can meet the qualifications for the job, then they should have the right to serve, regardless of creed or color or gender or sexual orientation.
Dempsey says he and the chiefs of the military services came to the conclusion that it was time to change the calculus they used when it came to gender.
By eliminating the direct combat exclusion provision, the burden used to be that we would say, why should a woman serve in a particular specialty? Now it's, why shouldn't a woman serve in a particular specialty? And the services will now have the opportunity to take, with that now as the reversed paradigm, to come back over time and with careful analysis and making sure we got the standards right to the secretary in order to, if we're going to keep one closed, they have to explain why, and I think there'll be the right amount of scrutiny on that. Fundamentally, we will always have to be the most ready force we can possibly be. And so I don't know how all that's going to sort out, but I'm really eager to begin the journey.
The policy Dempsey and Panetta signed undoes a 1994 Pentagon decree banning women from direct ground combat, but the change does not immediately open the positions to women. The military services have until May to deliver implementation plans to Panetta and Dempsey, and they have until 2016 to ask the Pentagon for exemptions to the policy for certain jobs. But they'll have to justify those exemptions, and they'll also have to create training and physical fitness standards that pertain directly to jobs rather than to gender. But Dempsey says he and the Joint Chiefs believe firmly that there are women who will meet even the toughest standards, such as those required by the military's special operations components.
I think we all believe that there will be women who can meet those standards. The other part of the equation, of course, is in order to account for their safety and their success in those kinds of units, we got to have enough of them so that they have mentors and leaders above them. You know, you wouldn't want to take one woman who can meet a standard and put her in a particular unit. You know, not the issue there wouldn't be privacy. It would be, where's her ability to have upward mobility and compete for command if she's one of one. So we do have to work both the standards and the kind of the critical mass, if you will, to make this work. But that's our commitment.
Because of the need to make sure there are cadres of female service members in the newly opened career fields, the military services probably will not say yes to every woman who wants to serve in a combat role, at least not right away. General Robert Cohn is the commander of the Army's Training and Doctrine Command.
Just because the recruiting base can produce them one at a time doesn't mean that's the way to bring them in. You need to bring them in. You need to set conditions, probably in groups of at least four is what the number says. Keep them together. You need to, for instance, set a cadre so there are role models, other women role models in the organization. And the point is, you know, it's not like when we went to West Point, we had to start at the bottom up and move up. This is different because you can take a sergeant that is a truck mechanic, a female, and she's already a great non-commissioned officer, then give her a different skill set, and then she can be a role model for a young private entering. So you don't have to pay that price repeatedly of having to grow them all the way up. Now, how high we can go up with laterally transferring women and giving them a new skill set to be these role models, we're still taking a look at it in terms of how high that would go up.
Last year, the Army started introducing women into previously excluded jobs on a trial basis. Cohn says the results were overwhelmingly positive. But he says the Army surveys paint a clear picture. Soldiers don't want the end of the combat exclusion policy to lower their training standards. And similarly, women who'd like to serve in combat jobs don't want the standards to be lowered just for them. But Cohn says creating new common standards that apply to both women and men may actually raise the bar.
We probably have men in infantry and armor units that are not capable of pulling their share of the weight right now. And this would be an opportunity to make us better in terms of talent management, getting the right people in the right places.
The standards will need to be crafted in such a way that they define what's needed for the job. The Pentagon's guiding principles say the baselines cannot be drawn so narrowly that they're simply a back doorway to exclude women. Cohn says the Army will create those standards according to mission, not according to gender.
We have a methodology that says don't tell us you know, a woman's got to carry a caliber 50 machine gun 500 meters over her head, well, you know, in 4 seconds or something like that. Tell us what the standard is. If we can justify that test, then that standard will remain the same. And again, it's probably a good chance that we can. But it's about going about this so we can tell soldiers, look, we're not making things up that you can't get in here. You have to do this standard because it's going to be important to you when you're jumping out of an airplane or you're doing something else. We expect to be challenged, you know, as any fire department or police department in any big city is over the standards of their test. That's why we brought together, you know, the scientific community and all these, you know, medical folks that are going to look at this thing and tell us what is in fact valid.
Dempsey says the Joint Chiefs agreed unanimously to move forward with the abolition of the combat exclusion policy. Like Cohn, he thinks it will improve the military as a whole, not just the prospects of female service members.
I graduated from West Point in 1974. It was an all-male institution. I went back to teach at West Point in 1984 and found the academy a far better place than it was when I was a cadet. Now, I mean, I don't have time to explain why. I'm just telling you that it had become better in almost every way, academically, physically, athletically. It was just a better place. Secondly, we've had this ongoing issue with sexual harassment, sexual assault. I believe it's because we've had separate classes of military personnel at some level. Now, you know, it's far more complicated than that. But when you have one part of the population that is designated as warriors and another part that's designated as something else, I think that disparity begins to establish a psychology that in some cases led to that environment. I have to believe the more we can treat people equally, the more likely they are to treat each other equally.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.